Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
So we're talking about abide. Let's pray real quick and we'll believe God together and have a great service here and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. Father, we just come into agreement with you. Lord, we come into agreement with your word. Lord, we submit our hearts, our minds, our wills to you. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You bring all things to our remembrance. You show us things to come. You teach us where we're at right now. Lord, you said inside of your word that your word is light to us. Lord, we know we live in a dark world, but we are not of this world. We have been born again. We've been born from above. We have a new nature. We have light living on the inside of us. We have the reservoir, the resources of the resurrection of Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. And Father, we don't want to just understand it. We want to experience it. We don't want to just house the glory of God, but we want to see the manifestation of your kingdom, of your glory, of your resurrection, not only in our personal lives, but Lord, that we might be effective wherever we go. Lord, this whole life is about you. It's not about us. We laid down our lives when we received you. We believed that we were buried with you. We believed that we were crucified with you. And we believe that we will be raised with you. We are raised with you. But even naturally with our physical bodies, Lord, one day we will be raised up with you in a glorified state, even as you are right now, in a glorified state of flesh and bone. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. But right now in this service today, Lord, I thank you for everybody present. And we just unite our hearts in faith right now, touching this message and agreeing together that we will see, know, and understand things only by the Holy Spirit that we didn't know before, so that we can walk forth and be a light and a witness in our own worlds and in this city. And we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Okay, John chapter 15. Let's go there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. And you can just follow along with what you got. I really like the way the Passion Translation says it. We're going through four different topics right now, building a foundation in our church, in our lives. And that's this. The first one is knowing the Father. The second one is knowing your relationship with your Father. And actually, I flip-flopped the second and the third because I messed up. But the Lord knows, so it doesn't matter, all right? And the third was supposed to be knowing your enemy. And then the last one that we're going to look at is how to worship your Father. How to worship your Father, okay? So knowing your enemy and knowing your Father are both on the website in their total. So if you want to download them, you can. They're free. There's no excuse if it's free. You know, there's no excuse for not knowing. If it's free, it's free, and you didn't have to pay. All you have to do is put it on your little iPad or iPod. So you can download them there. And right now we're talking about your relationship or understanding your relationship with your Father. And one of the scriptures that the Lord emphasized to me was in John 15, 1 through 5. And it says this, I am like a sprouting vine. Again, this is the Passion Translation. And the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting up and propping up the branches that are fruitless and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. Do you know there are fruitless Christians? They're born again, but they don't do a whole lot. They don't have any fruit in their personal life, and they don't have any fruit in serving God. We're called to have fruit. We're called to have to walk in relationship with the Lord and serve him in whatever capacity he asks us to. We are called to bear fruit. Now, there are people that are born again. They're saved. They're born from above. They have God's nature in them, but they don't have any fruit. They need to be propped up. They need a little encouragement. Or as my grandpa used to say, they need a shot in their rear end with a square needle. That's how we got motivated to do things. In other words, sometimes you just need a little propping up to help you get to where you need to be. But once you see what God has called you to do, you better run and get after it and do it. And don't quit. And when it doesn't look like it's working, you just keep going. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Yeah, but I don't feel it. Stop with your feelings. Follow and obey the word. Anybody can follow their feelings. That's easy. You could wake up any day and be so multi-personality disorder person, depending on how you feel that day. Anybody has the potential to be depressed one day or another. But you don't have to yield to it. You can choose to say, Lord, no, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But we're called to bear fruit. We're called to express God in the earth. All right. So verse number 2, he says, he cares for the branches that are connected to me by lifting and propping up the branches that are fruitless and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. Verse 3, the words that I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. You should say that. Verse 4 says this, so step into life union with me, for I have stepped into life union with you. That's that word abide. Second part of verse 4, for as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Verse 5, I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you, but when you live separated from me, you are powerless. You have no power, okay? But when you're connected to God, all things are possible. Fruitfulness, abundance, growth, something productive will stream from where? Within you. This is not something that we're looking on the outside to see. This is not, when the church was started here, we didn't look to the outside to see if it would work or not. We're not like, oh, you know, only a few people showed up last week. So? What's that got to do with anything? If you want to see me fight, which you probably don't, but if you want to see me fight or at least shut down and not agree with you, start talking to me about how this won't work. And I will not have a conversation with you. I will zip my mouth and settle down. And people go, oh, Sean wouldn't even talk to me. He wouldn't talk to me. No, I'm not going to talk that doubt and unbelief. I'm not going to talk death over what God called to be fruitful. Remember, we talked about this before. It's not fail family church. It's faith family church. Okay? So we're here for the long haul. You know what I mean? It's the marathon. It's not a sprint. Yeah, but it's only been 1 mile. I know. We still got another 20, what? What's a marathon? 26? If we still got another 25 to go. So when will that be? When I'm old and when I die, then I'm done. Not until then. Now, the Lord has to, he knows the plans out there. But until that day, I'm not done. I'll never retire. I won't roll over and I won't quit. Why? Because it's coming from within me out. It's coming from within me out. If we stay on this earth and we live out the full length of our natural days and we don't see the return of the Lord, I have a responsibility as a minister not only to continue to move forward and do what God has called me to do, but continue to raise up people behind us that will continue to do what God wants to do. Does that make sense? So this is vitally important. And so nothing in the natural can move us away from what God has called us to in the spiritual. Because if it does, then we get out of faith and we get into the flesh and the enemy gains victory. And you know what I care about more than anything else? In the sense of course, number one is obeying God, but the second is making sure that the enemy doesn't gain victory. Why? I don't want him to have anything. He stole once in the garden in Genesis 3. That was enough. You can see what he did from there, okay? So we're called to be fruitful, okay? Let's go to, go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is where we left off last week. We talked about divine seed. We had the picture of the seed and the tree right next to it. Do you remember that? Okay. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you that are not in 1 Peter. But you can just listen to them because they're a repeat. And Ephesians 2:10 says, no. Well, let me say this. First of all, we talked about the fact that how we gained the nature of God was that we were born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And what happened to us was when we received Jesus, we were born of the spirit. Now, you were born of the flesh naturally from your parents. That's why you look like them. Okay, that's why you look like your mom and your dad, because you were born of the flesh from them. But as far as the spirit goes, since you're born again, you look just like God. You look just like God, okay? Jesus said, you've received my nature. The scripture literally says, we'll read it here in a little bit, that you are children of God, that you've been born of his nature. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. In what? Recreated in what? In Christ Jesus. Now, that's where I got that statement that the Holy Spirit had said to me, which is very simply this. The resources of the resurrection live in every child of God that's born again. In every child of God. If you're born from above, the resources of the resurrection of Jesus Christ live inside of you. Now, that is more than just, oh, I'm going to heaven when I die. That is also heaven living in you now. And I was reading, it was interesting, I was reading a theology book, a Pentecostal theology book. That sounds boring to some people, but it's really interesting to me, okay? Written by a whole bunch of doctors. They got PhDs and, you know, all those neat initials after their name that I don't. And I'm reading it, and one of the things that they brought out was going to heaven is not just the only thing that happens when you're born again. They were emphasizing the fact that you get God's nature, his DNA in you right now. Why is that? Why is that so important? And they said, for one, as the saint feels out of place in the earth, if you went to heaven but you didn't have God's nature in you, you still had a sin nature, you would feel out of place in heaven. And I thought, oh yeah. It would feel weird to you because it's not of your nature. So what God had to do was bring heaven to earth and put his nature inside of you so that when you get to heaven, there'll be no awkward feeling. There'll be no conflict of interest or motivation because he already lives in you. He already lives inside of you. So we got a new nature. We were recreated in Christ Jesus. The basic English, the Bible in basic English says this, for by his act we were given existence in Christ Jesus. We were given existence. The same Greek word that is used for created here is used in Romans 1:20. Turn over to Romans 1:20. I know I had you go to 1 Peter, but you'll get more familiar with your Bible this way. By having to run all over the place. Plus, it'll keep you moving. Romans 1:20 says this, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Do you notice that the attributes are invisible, but they're not non-existent? Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Does that make sense? Just because you can't see God doesn't mean he's not there. And Jesus gave this example all the time. Can you see the wind? No. But is it there? Yep. Why? You see the effects of it. Can you see God? No. Is he there? Yes. Why? You see the effects of him. Can you see Satan? No. But do you see the effects of him? Oh, absolutely you do. Absolutely you do. Anytime you see anything that is out of divine order, you see Satan at work. He disrupts everything that he gets his hands into, for lack of a better term. But this word created the world is the same word where it says in Ephesians 2:10, talks about we were created in Christ Jesus. It's the same word. Well, how was the world created? God the Father was the architect. Jesus is what? In the beginning was the, and the Word was with, and nothing came into being except through the Word, right? And then the Holy Spirit did what? He was the first hoverer. He is the original hovercraft. He hovered over what? The waters, right? The face of the deep. And did what? This is how the Lord showed it to me. Jesus looked into the Father and said, oh, monkey. Turned to the earth and said, monkey. And when those words, Jesus being the Word, hit and the Holy Ghost hears it, what does he create? Monkey. So, Jesus comes to earth. He dies, hangs on the cross, pays the price for your sin. Raised from the dead. This was the plan of redemption. We hear it. So God sent his son, sent the word to the earth. All that whole process is now in place to where people can be born again. So what happens? God sees down to earth, looks down and says, oh, that man Sean down there when I was 19. We'll just go back to then. When I was 19, he's praying the prayer of salvation. And the Father says, new nature. Or it shows up that way in him. And Jesus says, new nature. And the Holy Ghost, boom, new nature goes into me. In other words, the same way the monkey was created is the same way we're created in that, I'm not preaching evolution here, in that God created new in you, in your spirit, your nature, who you are. You are new on the inside of you. You have a new being inside of you. Everything old has what? Passed away, according to 2 Corinthians 5. 17 through 21. In fact, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When God looks at you, he sees the very cleanness of Jesus Christ.
Well, you don't know what I did.
You're not functioning inside what God has made you to be if you're thinking about what you did rather than what Jesus did. Well, I sinned yesterday. 1 John 1:9 still a-working. And you're clean, you're clean, you're clean. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Stop worrying about it. Yes, you need to repent. Yes, you need to do better. No question. We all need to put on the new man. And we're going to talk about that. But the reality is that you're in a position right now in the spirit where God looks at you and says, I'm as pleased with Joel as I am with Jesus. No, didn't quite get it. I'm as pleased with you as I am with Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus is having a hard time receiving things from God? See, this is the issue. We don't realize our relationship with God. But the Holy Spirit's helping us. He's teaching me. My relationship with my God is increasing in understanding and experience. Why? Because I'm not counting on what I know, I'm counting on what he knows, and he's opening my eyes to see what God has already provided for us in the scripture, in his death, burial, and resurrection. If you read through the epistles that Paul wrote, he said, I'm writing this revelation down so that you can understand it. People think, well, I wish the Lord would take me to heaven like he took Paul to heaven, and I wish the Lord would, you know, appear to me multiple. You don't need him to appear to you multiple times. You just need to hear from the Holy Ghost and obey the word. If you have something like that happen, great, but you better judge it against this. Because there are a lot of people having spiritual experiences, and they're not God. They are not God. They're just a bunch of experiences. You realize Satan is in the earth, right? And how does he appear? As an angel of, well, I saw a bright light being. So? Satan appears as a bright light being. Big deal. What did he say? Because there's more authority. I remember, I'll relate a story to you that Brother Hagin did to us. And you say, oh, I don't know who Brother Hagin is. You should look it up. So anyway, Google's available. Don't believe everything you read on Google. If you go to rhema.org, you can find out more about him. But anyway, he was dealing with a gentleman who was in one of his meetings. Brother Hagin was teaching on healing, and that it was God's will for you to be healed, and it is. And this gentleman was saying, no, it's not God's will. And he said, well, how do you know? Brother Hagin's asking the man, how do you know it's not God's will for him to heal you? And he said, one day I was praying about it. And a being appeared to me, and he said, an angel. And he said, I saw him from the waist down. I saw his feet. I saw his whatever he had on, and I saw his feet. And this being in light appeared to him and said, it is not my will that you be healed. And this is what he's basing his belief on. Well, Brother Hagin took him back to salvation. He said, well, you said just recently your brother got born again, right? He said, yeah, that's right. He said, well, how did you lead him to the Lord? He said, well, in John 3:16 it says this, and in Romans 10:9-10 it says this, and he took him through the scripture and he led him to the Lord. And Brother Hagin looked at him and said, well, what if your brother came to you and said, you know, I was praying if it was God's will to save me or not, and an angel appeared to me, and it was a bright angel, And the angel said to me, well, it's just not my will that you be born again. What would you tell him? And he said, well, I'd tell him, no, you can't follow that. See, he's leading him right down the path. He said, I'd tell him, no, John 3:16 says this. We follow the word. We don't follow visions and things like that. So Brother Hagin just took him to 1 Peter 5, or 1, wherever it is, 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Acts 10:17. You know what I mean? He took him straight down the line and gave him scriptures on healing. Psalms 91. How about Proverbs chapter 3? He took him down the line and said, so you're telling me that your vision is higher than this word? And he goes, no, you're right. And the man got healed. Because he believed the word. I don't need an experience. I've had them, and they're great. And honestly, they're more exciting to your emotion and your mind than they really are spiritual substance. Not that they're wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's not chase them. Let's be balanced in the word. Because when God moves, it's easy to get wrapped up in the feeling of it. It's very easy to do. But when you've based your life on the word for years and years and years, you can just walk along whether you feel God or not and just do the right thing. It's freeing to know that you don't have to act how you feel. It's freeing. Well, I don't have to act like that. I don't have to act like that. I don't have to yield to this. Keith Moore, Brother Keith Moore, he's one of our teachers. He taught Christ the Healer for us. We had a class. We'll have to teach that here. But anyway, we had a class called Christ the Healer. And in the class, he said, you don't have to make sickness comfortable. And he talked about how if you wake up in the morning and you don't feel good, you know, maybe you got a sniffle or something, or you got, I don't know, whatever you got going on, doesn't matter. He said, you don't have to sit down and make sickness comfortable. Fluff the pillow for it. Oh, I'm miserable. You can get up and just keep going. Now, my grandpa was not a faith healing guy. He believed God in a lot of ways and did a lot of good things. But I remember him as a kid having a cold, and he sounded rough. You know what I mean? He sounded stuffy and raspy. And he'd just get up and go to work anyway, and he'd take us with him on a Saturday. It's not even work day. And he'd go. And so I remember him clearly, we were sitting in the truck. It's a gray Ford F-150 truck, a 1980s version, okay? And we're in the truck, and it's me and my dad or somebody else. I don't know. There's some other gentleman there and my older brother, and we're going to trim trees and mow lawns and do good stuff like that, rake leaves. And my grandpa would pay us $20 for the whole Saturday and usually buy us something from like McDonald's or something. You know what I mean? It's good stuff, especially when you're 10. That's a lot of money. So anyway, he'd pay us $20 for the whole day, and I remember him being kind of sick, and he's wiping his nose is running, and I remember the guy that was with us saying, you sound a little rough there, Bob, you know. And he said, maybe you should stay in or something like that. And he said, no, this sunlight and everything is good for me. I'm just going to keep working. And he didn't necessarily believe in divine healing because he had made some comments to me that he disagreed with me on that. But on the other hand, he wasn't going to let that thing stop him. He was just going to keep going. And my grandpa lived to be 91, and he lived healthy pretty much the whole time. I mean, eventually your body gives out. You're gone. But he lived to be 91. And he lived on his own until he was almost 90. In their own house. That's pretty good, wouldn't you say? And he'd still work. He still did his thing. Why? He just didn't roll over and give into it. So what he had learned, whether he realized it or not, and what we need to understand is that God's spirit lives in us, and that nature can come out of us. And that's what God's desire is. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. God is the architect, Jesus is the Word, and the Holy Spirit manifests those things in our lives. So we, when we believed on Jesus in our heart, we were born again, and so that act took place in that order. Ephesians 4:24 in the Amplified says this, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike and true righteousness and holiness. Another translation says, put on the new man who has been created in God's image. I like that. Created in God's image. Okay? The word created there, according to the Greek, or in his image, I guess is actually the right word there, that I looked up, was this. It denotes a measure of similarity or equality. That's what it means in the Greek. It denotes a measure of similarity or equality. You've been born, you have this, you have a similar nature to God. In fact, it's the same nature. You're just not functioning at the level of that he is, and you never will. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, there'll never be anybody above God. Satan tried that. That was a bad idea. So learn from him. Don't do that. Okay? Galatians 6:15 says this, "For neither is circumcision now of any importance, nor uncircumcision, but only a new creation, the result of a new birth and a new nature in Christ Jesus." Glory to God. So we have a new nature inside of us, okay? We were born of divine seed, and that's 1 Peter 1:23. It says, "You have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin or seed, but from an immortal, by the ever-living and lasting word of God." You have the word of God on the inside of you. So that which we talked about this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. John 3:6 in the New Living Translation says, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Listen to the message. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. That makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? When you look at a baby, you just see natural features. Now, the Hill Boys are unmistakable. They're all brothers. There's no question where they came from. Okay? They are the result of their parents. Almost a spitting image. You can see little differences, but they're all from those parents. But what you can't see is on the inside of them. That's the spirit. That's the nature of God. And the nature of God in a person is there by being born again. Being born from above, you take on God's nature. God's nature lives in you. Now understand this. This isn't just going to fall on you like ripe cherries off of a tree. Do you understand what I mean by that? Truths in Scripture. Now see, we have this mentality because it's in our world. We need to understand this. The level of enjoyment that you possess out of the Word, I learned this a long time ago, cannot come from just sitting and hearing it once. You've got to take it in and take it in. And look at it again, and look at it again, and then look at it again. And then once you have it in you pretty good, like you basically got it memorized, then you put it into practice, and you put it into practice. And how do you put it into practice? When a situation comes up that you know you can't handle, you say, God, you're in me, and you told me that if I would pray about this and cast my care over on you, you'd take care of it. And you begin to act on that. Does that make sense? And that's what produces a result. Just sometime when you feel the feelings of depression, start singing praise songs. Just do it. I don't care whether you feel like it or not. I don't care if you got to get up and go, I'm happy. I'm happy. If you have to make yourself smile, do it. Why? Because what we realize as Christians is that we're not just functioning with influence just naturally. We know that there's a Satan influence and there's a God influence. And we can choose which one we yield to. We can choose which one we yield to. So these scriptures will come alive to you the more you go over them. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, chapter 5. And there are two points I'm going to make here. So if you're, that all was just review. So the whole idea behind everything that we teach is that it governs what you think, what you say, and what you do, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says this. We're going to talk about spirit, soul, body here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole," what? "Spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what do we see from this scripture? This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. What do we see? God, by the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, breaks down the very makeup of a human. We are what? first of all, spirit. We have a soul, and we live inside of a body. The two areas that most humans are aware of, overly aware of, are the body first and the soul, which is like your mind, will, and emotions. That's what that is. We are overly aware of those things. And those two areas, if the enemy can keep you in them, okay, if he can keep you in them, he can keep you defeated. What we need to understand is, going back to John chapter 3, verse 6, you don't have to turn there, just listen. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, when Jesus said that, he was talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to him asking questions, and Jesus said, look, you don't understand what I'm talking about because you're not what? Born again or born from above, right? You can't understand it because you don't have the nature of God in you, boy. That's what he was saying. But now that we're born again, what do we have? We have the nature of God in us. So we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, right? Which part was born again? The spirit. Did anything change in your soul or in your body? Nothing. Nothing changed. The only part of you that changed was your spirit. Now listen, that is the most important part. That is the most important part. It's the most, because of the fact that, and we looked at it in 1 Peter 5:23, or what was it? First what? 1 Peter, is that right? 1:23, I'm sorry. 1:23. I'm getting 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 1 Peter, okay, anyway. So we looked at it in 1 Peter 1:23, that you were born of what? Divine seed. Where was that seed placed? In your spirit. It wasn't placed in your mind. The change happened in your heart. So, here's the challenge. What do we do with our mind and our body? Okay, now listen. We want the influence, which is the nature of God, the DNA of God, that has been placed in our spirit to affect everything out here. How do you know that? What was the Lord's prayer? What was part of it? Thy kingdom come on as it is in heaven, right? We read in Ephesians chapter 2, well, at least I have, I don't know if you have. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, talks about us being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 23, it talks about how Jesus is the head of the body, and the body is the church, which is you. Is Jesus the head of the building? Jesus has got a bunch of buildings underneath him for a body. He's got all these buildings. Some are old barns, some are caves, if you've seen any videos of underground churches in China. Pretty interesting. Is that what he's the head of? No. He's the head of a body, which is you. So what is God's goal? God's goal for the church is that they express him just like Jesus did when he was here. Did you see that? Okay? All right, we got to say it again. Don't let this slip from you because, see, for generations now, people have had this understanding, yeah, the preachers better do that. No. No. Jesus didn't send the fivefold ministry gifts to the body of Christ so that the preachers could do all the work of the ministry. The scripture clearly teaches in Ephesians 4 that the ministry gifts are given to teach so that the body will do the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? People think, well, that's studying so you can preach. Nope, nope, nope. That's one part. That's one part. One little part. I mean, how long do you sit here a week? In a church service. Let's say you go to three of them. And the preacher preaches for 45 minutes at each one. How much of that is how much of your life in a week does that consist of? Not much. 2 hours and what, 15 minutes? Wow. Doesn't seem like very much, does it? How much of your life is going to work and getting up and going to bed and brushing your teeth and hopefully you brush your teeth? You know what I mean? The work of the ministry or operating in the kingdom of God is every day, all day long. It's every day, all day long. Now, there's a vital part of it in the church, in the building, in what we do here. This is a vital part of it. But it's every day. So we need to understand that we've been born from heaven. That nature that has come into us is the nature of God, but it came into our spirit. We also need to understand that we have a soul and we have a body as well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "The word of the Lord, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of what? Soul and spirit." Soul and spirit. "And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So there you see it again. You see a separation between soul and spirit. The spirit is the part of you that received the nature of God. All right, now let's go to Galatians chapter 5. So you understand from 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that you are a spirit, soul, and body. You understand from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that there again you see that the word of God has the power to separate the soul and the spirit, and even the flesh. You could almost add the flesh there and it wouldn't hurt anything. It just doesn't mention. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. If you want to write this down, here's the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Do you have that picture of that fulcrum? Can you put that up for me? Thank you. Galatians chapter 5. Here we will see the distinction between the desires of the spirit and the desires of the flesh. Okay, listen closely. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. "And it is perfectly evident what the old nature does," that is the flesh, "its desires. It expresses itself in sexual immorality, impurity, and indecency, involvement with the occult and with drugs, in feuding, fighting, becoming jealous and getting angry, in selfish ambition, factionalism, intrigue, in envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." So he just tags that on at the end. Anything that's like this is of the flesh. So there, what did we see in those first verses there? We saw the desires of what? The flesh. Now, wait a minute. Which part of you changed when you were saved? Your spirit. So you could have a Christian that's acting like this. Do you know what they're doing? They're yielding to their feelings, their flesh. Okay? This is the process of spiritual growth. People say, well, what does this have to do with my relationship with God? Everything. If you want to be close to God, you can't be close to your flesh. And people say, well, what am I supposed to do? Peel it off? You know? How do I get rid of it? You kill it daily. Paul said that he buffeted or put his body under what? Daily. Okay? Now, verse number 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit..." Okay, so what do we know? This is the fruit of the Spirit. So whose nature is this, since this is speaking to a born-again person? This is God's nature. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Wow. Humility, self-control. Do those sound anything like the deeds of the flesh? Everything in the deeds of the flesh just sounds like selfishness. Desires of the sinful nature. And people say, well, why do I still desire to do that? Because you still have a body. I've watched old men walking around in malls and different places trying to look cool when a young, good-looking girl walks by. I'm thinking, dude, you know you're wrinkly and bald, right? Why is that? Same nature of the flesh. Never changes. Never changes. It never changes. The only way that you can overcome those desires is if you live out of your spirit. Because the Spirit of God is what? The Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. The Spirit of God in a man does not look at a woman as something to conquer. It doesn't go around like, I'm married, obviously. I have the ring to prove it. Okay? I'm not hunting for another girl. Why? I live out of my spirit, not out of my flesh. But I could let my flesh just run wild. I know guys that do it. Spirit of stupid's all over them. But they do it. You know, I work commercial in the commercial world, and I listen to these guys who are married and been married for years. I'll be in a place of business doing some business, and I know these guys because I see them a lot. And they'll make comments about women that come into the place and try and get me to join. No, I'm not joining. No, I don't need to join. I'm not joining that. I'm not joining death. I don't like it. It's very deadly. No, I don't need that. I have a nature in my spirit that looks at the opposite sex and goes, okay, God, what is the plan for that person? They're more than bones and flesh and meat. They are created three-dimensional like I am. God has a purpose for my life. God has a purpose for their life. So what is it that we can do to help them? Maybe it's be born again first. But after that, what is it that can help them develop into what God's called them to be? And people say, well, how? You know, they struggle over how you do that. Listen, you learn how to live out of your spirit, not out of your flesh. You learn how to live out of your spirit, not out of your flesh. When you live out of your spirit, you don't get frustrated with your kids like you usually do. When I do, maybe I'm the only one. I'm probably the only one. We'll just pretend that was for me. You know what I mean? You don't get frustrated with your friends. You just let it go. You just let it go. Why? Because you're living out of your spirit. Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? All those things. The spirit of the flesh is, I want to fight. I'm going to fight. I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to make them pay. So what I want you to see here is the distinction between the two. Now, if you go down to verse 25, it says this. Galatians 5:25, it says this. Since it is through the spirit that we have life, there you have it. Let it also be through the Spirit that we order our lives day by day. How do you like that? That's the complete Jewish Bible. It says this, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. So you see it right there. And let's go up to verse 24 real quick. I want you to hear this. It says, moreover, those who belong to the Messiah or to Jesus have put their old nature to death on the stake, which actually is like the cross, along with its passions and desires. You're supposed to do something with your body. Every time your body wants to cuss, you're supposed to put it on the stake. What do you mean by that? You stake it down. Well, what do you mean I should, you know, give myself 39 lashes minus one? Is that what I should do? You know? Well, no. He's not talking about hitting yourself or putting a stake through you. What he's saying is don't give expression to what you know as a desire of the flesh. Do you see that? Do not give expression to what you know as a desire of the flesh, as the desire of the flesh nature. Okay? Now, but then he says in verse 25, give all the expression you want to the nature of the Spirit. Just let patience, peace, love, just let it fly out of you. I mean, just go off on a rampage of love and patience and kindness and self-control. People will think you lost your mind. You'll be driving in traffic and some crazy person is driving around you and you can feel like, you know, running into them with your car, you know, or leaning out the window and pointing a pistol and shooting their tires out, you know. You can feel like running them down and giving them a piece of your mind when really you should just go ballistic on patience. Oh, man, I just blessed that person. Man, this is the greatest day, glory to God. I get to practice my patience. They don't know how to drive. Lord, open the eyes of their understanding. I thank you, Lord, that your angels are encamped around about my vehicle. There have been times where I've been driving along and I've kind of been in a hurry. And so I speed up and I got up behind this vehicle that looked like it had been hit on all sides. And I slowed way down. I went way back. Why? Because I thought, that person, you know, I don't believe in karma. I believe they made bad decisions over and over again. And so I'm not going to be around if they make another one. I'll be 100 feet back. You know what I mean? Because I have a new nature. I haven't done that every time, but I want to talk about the victories, not the failures. All right, so you have a soul. All right, now look at this fulcrum up here. It's an old scale. They're called a fulcrum, in case you didn't know. All right, here's how you're set up. Here's three parts. You have spirit, you have soul or mind, and you have flesh, you have body. We know what the desires of the flesh are because we just looked at them. And we know what the desires of the spirit are because we just looked at them. Now go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The thing that sits in the middle is your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and we'll end right here. This is my last point. The soul or the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all that you are as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Now, when we get into worship, we'll use that scripture right there. Worship is more than raising your hands. It's giving your whole life to God. Okay, verse number 2. Do not what? Be conformed to this world. Fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. Now, how do you do that? We're born again by the Spirit of God, correct? I'm born again of divine seed. So that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So when I was born of the Spirit, I became a child of God, according to the Bible. So that means I received God's nature inside my spirit, right? So we know what the nature of the flesh is. It's a whole bunch of bad stuff. We know what the nature of the spirit is. It's a whole bunch of godly stuff. Now, the nature of the mind is whatever you choose. It's neutral. Whichever of those two you weigh down more will be the nature of your mind. The more renewed your mind is, okay, if you were just born again last week, okay? Now, I know this from a testimony of a good friend of mine who's a minister. And he told me, after he got saved, he went to the bar the next day and got drunk. Why? He didn't know any better. He knew he had changed on the inside, but he didn't know that the deeds of the flesh was drunkenness and that we're supposed to kill those things. We're not supposed to give them life. We're supposed to stop them. Don't let that happen. You know, if we treated ourselves like we discipline our kids in raising them, we'd be fine. No, no, you can't do that. And they're thinking, I just saw you do it. You know what I mean? Okay? But what I'm saying is, when we figure out, when we have our minds transformed by this book, this is why ministry gifts are so important. Teaching. You have to hear. You have to see. You have to know what is in here. And what is in here isn't just affecting your spirit. It's changing the way you think so that you know. You have a ledger. You have an account of what is of the flesh and what is of the spirit right here. Right here. You may not know that if you'd ever read your Bible. That's why we have the Bible reading, so you can become familiar with your Bible. But you think about it. If I know that the fruit of the Spirit, if I can go to Galatians 5 and see that the fruit of the Spirit is patience, and I feel impatience, and I know that impatience is of the flesh, there's only one thing that sits in the middle of the decision on which direction I'm going. I have an influence coming from both places, right? So where is the will? It's in the soul, the mind, right? That's where you decide what you're going to do. So, that being said, if I know impatience and I feel it, and I know patience and I sense that that's who I am, and I have a mind that is renewed with the Word of God, and I know the direction of where both of those things are coming from. Impatience is coming from the flesh. Patience is coming from the spirit. Then all I have to do is just have a decision to make, a mind that's renewed, and a will that's conformed to the word of God. And I can go, I know what I need to do. That impatience is of the flesh. I need to kill that, and I need to yield to the patience that's in me and release that. Does that make sense? I know I said I wasn't going to give you one more scripture, but I am. Turn over to, because this will explain this clearly to you. Turn over to, skip that point. To Ephesians 4:24 again. I want you to see this. Okay, so you have to renew your mind. You understand where the natures are. You understand that you're born again. You understand that you have flesh and that you have a spirit and that you have a mind. And so your spirit is born of God. Your flesh still has a sinful nature, and you need to crucify that daily. Ephesians 4:24 says this, and that you put on, I like this, the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, listen, the word put. In the sense, this is what it means, in the sense of sinking into a garment, to invest with clothing, to clothe. Okay. All right, you ready? Here's the last thought. This is what the Lord had said to me. I think it was this morning. No, it was last night. This was the last point that he had given me. You're putting it on. Okay? You're putting on the new man. Where's the new man? In the spirit, right? Okay, that's where the new man is, right? So think of it this way. It looks like you all got clothed this morning. Good job. Okay, this is not nudity church. Okay, where did you find your clothes? In your closet, right? Or in your dresser or somewhere. Okay, but they were in your room, right? Let's just assume you all had them in your closet. They weren't strewn all over the, okay? My clothes are not all over. They're in their spot in their closet. It's not because I'm OCD either. Okay? You looked into the closet and you picked what you thought to you would look best for today. Right? And you took out of the resources that are in your closet. And girls do a whole lot more than guys do in this, I think. I know my wife does. I do not set out 7 different things and go, that goes with Jamie. I just have in my mind what my wife told me would look good together, so if it doesn't, it's her fault. Okay? And I just grab that, and I iron it and make it look clean, and I take a shower, put some deodorant on, brush my teeth, comb my hair. Okay? Get ready to go. And I'm clothed with whatever I took on. Whatever I took out of the closet and put on, okay? You have the resources of heaven inside of you. What are you taking out of there and putting on? Got it? People say, I just don't feel like being patient with that person. Well, you cannot feel like wearing a blue shirt. I've done it, and my wife says, you're wearing that shirt, and then I wear it. And then what I feel about it makes no difference. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? I look at stuff and I go, yeah, I like that. My wife's like, no, that will not look good on you. Okay, never mind. Just pick what I'm going to wear so I can hurry up and get it done. You know what I mean? So the same is true with this. Put on the new man. What do you mean? Clothe yourself with it. I don't feel like putting on patience. It doesn't matter. You can pick it up right out of your spirit and put it on. I'm going to put this patience on and love these kids, whether I feel like it or not. I love them. I love them. And people will come up to you, and God's merciful. People will come up to you and go, oh, you got a lot of patience today. And you're going, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You're right. Why? Because I chose to pull out of the resources of heaven, out of the nature of God. Now listen to me, guys. This works with healing. Jesus whoops sickness. My arm's been hurt. My shoulder's been hurting me. No. I take out of the resources of healing and I put on healing. You don't have to feel like you have it on. You put it on, you receive it, you take it, and you talk to him. What's what we're going to get into next is the power of your words and confession. And then we're just going to go down a list of promises that are in the New Testament, and there's about 140 of them. I'm not going to go over every one of them. But I'm going to give you a list of them that you can put on daily. Because most believers are flat weak. Most Christianity today is, oh, everybody pray. Everybody pray. If everybody prays in unbelief, you still get the same answer. We've got three. I had a guy at work one time. And he came up to me and he didn't know a lot about the word of faith or just, he had been really religiously taught. As Brother Hagin used to say, religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. Okay, that happens a lot. And he came up to me and he said, and his there was a tragedy in his family. Some sickness or diagnosis, something bad happened. Okay. And he said, I know God's going to move. I said, well, how do you know? Sometimes I think some people don't talk to me because they know I may not agree with them, so they don't want to mess with that. But I'm the type of personality, I'd rather find out I'm wrong and repent and have truth. That's the way I like it. I mean, if you don't like me, okay. You know what I mean? If you don't agree with me, okay. But let's look at results. Who's getting results? I want results. Anyway, so he got a bad report, and he said, there's no way God's not going to answer. I'm thinking, okay, why? Because there's only one way God won't answer. In the sense of, there's only one way there's only one thing that gets God to move on your behalf, and that's faith. It starts from the beginning, and it continues on. You're born again by faith. Okay, I said, okay, why? He said, we got to have like 3,000 people praying. I said, what does that mean? You could have 3,000 unbelieving people praying. You could have 3,000 people that pray, Lord, heal this person if it be thy will. They don't know God's will. How are they praying in faith? Well, we just don't know what God's will is. We know clearly what God's will is in many areas. There are 101 scriptures you're going to have to ignore in the Bible on healing if you don't believe in healing. I'm talking about physical, divine healing. I'm talking about physical bodies changing. There are, not to mention, the entire ministry of Jesus Christ on the earth. You might as well just throw that out. Everybody wants to have God in their life and a move of God. But in order for that to happen, there has to be this total, there has to be a group of people who will strip out what they think and just go with what God said. It's not that it's a separation from the culture. But do you realize that we have just as much culture, habit, ways of doing things that the world does in the church? It's the same. I'm not saying we do the same things they do. I'm saying we have patterns and traditions that are exactly, it's just another pattern and tradition. It may be different than the world's, but it isn't God's. Jesus looked at the religious leaders and said what? You make the word of God of none effect. Why? How? Traditions of men. But we don't believe that in our denomination. Why? Why? Tell me why. Well, you know, Dr. So-and-so. Having a doctorate does not give you the ability to decide whether God was right or not. It does not. This is why this type of teaching and this type of thing, when you want a true move of God, this is why Jesus got so much trouble from people. Right here. Because people in general, I'm saying in general, I'm not saying you, okay? People in general, they want what they want. They don't really want what God wants. I know because I'm still growing, but there are areas of my life where I walk up to the scripture and you go, if I do that, you know what I mean? Now, should I tell you one more story? Can you handle it? Smith Wigglesworth. Another Smith Wigglesworth story. Shade's going, not another one. After I told you the one about the baby and all that stuff, I was watching Brother Hagin and I got more. All right? I want you to hear this. Because I want you to be able to walk away and go, don't just hear what I'm saying. Go away from it. Look in the scripture and pray and say, God, show me. Show me what you're saying here. Because I don't believe this is just me. I believe it's the anointing upon my life, the Holy Spirit flowing through the gift that he's put in me. I'm just a vessel. I could miss it. There's no question about it. But you better take it and pray about it during the week. You know, sometimes Mike will say stuff to me, because we meet for breakfast every Friday so he can correct me. And I'm just kidding. He'll say stuff to me, okay? And it takes me, I'll be 3 days away from it. And I'll be praying, and the Lord will bring back something he said and say, see, this is why you need to do this. Oh, yeah, that's right. So don't just throw this out. Stay with it. All right, Smith Wigglesworth, last story, then we're going. You guys are doing good. So Brother Hagin talked about how he was in, he never saw Smith Wigglesworth himself, but he knew people that were personally present in his meetings that relayed these stories to him. He said he was in a meeting one time, and he said this pastor was telling him, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, one second you wanted to kill him, the next second you wanted to hug him. And I really believe this is the way the ministry of Jesus was. And this is why I say I'm not sure we could handle the ministry of Jesus to the full extent that is available. But there was a lady who had a big old goiter on her neck. Okay? You guys know what a goiter is, right? Okay. So anyway, she had a goiter, and Smith Wigglesworth brought her up to be prayed for, and she came up to the front, and he starts hitting that goiter. He's going, pop, 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 like this, commanding it to dissolve. Well, this little old lady's crying. Okay, hang on. Everybody's like, there's no stones in here, right? Because this wasn't me, it was Smith, okay? So anyway, he's going, pop, 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 and he's hitting that tumor, right? And this minister that was telling this story to Brother Hagin that was in the meeting said, I got up to go take out Smith Wigglesworth, okay? And he said, my preacher buddies reached up when I got up and grabbed me and pulled me back down and sat me down. Okay? See, our church is going to be exciting. You just wait. So he pulls him back down. And he looked at that lady and he was stern. He was rough. Smith Wigglesworth was. He was uneducated. He learned how to read the Bible. Or he learned how to read by reading the Bible. Okay? He said, and he's on the platform, and there were chairs back here. He looked at that lady, and he said, you go sit down over there. So she goes and sits down. He gets to preaching after his message. Everything kind of calms down. And he's walking back and forth, and he turns around, and he looked at her, and he said, I told you to leave. And right then, the goiter just went, whoop, sucked in. She was completely healed. He said, that preacher, I went from wanting to beat him to wanting to hug him. Just like that. But see, he's functioning out of somewhere. That as Christians, do you see this? We don't most of the time. We need to get there. We need to get there. We need to get there. We got to get there. And that's not just for Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter, because we know, because we just read in the book of Acts, that Stephen, the table servant, the one who served tables, had just as many miracles in his ministry. Now, his ministry was short-lived because there were rocks where he was preaching. So we'll sweep wherever we go first. You can get all the rocks out of there. You understand what I'm saying? Amen? That give you something to think about? something to meditate on and make a part of your life. You've got God in you. His nature. What is impossible? But we've got to start doing it. Acting it. When the fear comes, just stand up and say, nope, I'm not giving in to you. I don't care if you're crying. No, I will not give in to you. I have beat you already in Christ. And I stand in his power. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us. Lord, we just know that tremendous power is being made available, that we are going to see the manifestation of the sons of God here on in Billings, in this church. And that's us, your kids, and more to come. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for the reign of your Spirit. Bless the people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.